welcome. Welcome in the name of our suffering servant, our risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. A few words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn is number 430, My Song is Love Unknown. Following that opening hymn, we'll pray the order of Vespers. That's on page 229 and following. Page 229 and following. There is no insert for our worship service this evening. We have one scripture reading, and this evening we begin the five-part passion narrative of our Lord and Savior Jesus. This is a narrative drawn from all four Gospels, and we'll go from Monday, Thursday, which we'll start the readings tonight, all the way through the death and burial of Jesus. 4 weeks from tonight. We pray that God richly blesses us as we hear His Word and walk with Christ, His Passion Road, and especially the last 3 days of His life. The office hymn is a great Lenten hymn, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth. And following the sermon, we'll sing the Magnificat, and then comes the offering. And after the offering plates go by, then we'll have the kids come down and come forward to sing. We'll have them sing a little bit later in the service, that way they know where they're sitting. And hopefully when we're done singing, we won't have any panic in being able to find mom or dad or grandma or grandpa back. So once the plates go by, then you can send the kids down and we'll get organized and sing after the gathering of the offering. After the offering, we will conclude our service, not with the regular prayers from Vespers, but we'll pray the litany, and we'll make sure we're on the right page at that particular time. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this season, this extra opportunity to be in Your house, to focus our hearts and our lives on Your great love for us. Heavenly Father, help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to know You, to know who You are, to know what we should expect and receive from You, to know You perfectly. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name of and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 430.
page 229, we stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Lord, be with us and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the
office hymn, hymn 438. You may be seated.
The Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ as drawn from the four Gospels. Part 1, The Lord's Supper.
Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, also called the Passover, drew near, and Jesus said to His disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be given over to be crucified."
Then the chief priests and the scribes assembled with the elders of the people in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted how they might take Jesus craftily and put Him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people," for they feared the people.
Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, one of the 12. He went his way to the chief priests and captains and spoke together with them how he might betray Jesus to them. They were glad to hear him. He said to them, "What will you give me to betray him to you?" They promised to give him money and agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. He accepted, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude.
Then came the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?"
He said to them, "Go into the city, and when you have entered the city, watch for a man bearing a pitcher of water. When he meets you, follow him into the house where he enters. You shall say to the man who lives there, 'The master says to you, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house. Where is the room for me to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." The disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They came into the city and found it as he had told them, and they made ready the Passover.
When the hour was come, Jesus sat down, and the apostles with him. As they were eating, he said, "I have longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
In the same way also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Truly I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father."
There was also a strife among them as to which of them should be accounted the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors. It shall not be so among you. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is the chief, as he that serves. For who is greater, he that sits at the table, or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at the table? But I am among you as a servant. You are they who have continued with me in my temptations. I appoint you to a kingdom, as my Father has appointed me. You shall eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel."
Jesus knew that His hour was come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who are in the world, He loved them to the end. Already Satan had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God. He rose from the supper, laid aside His garments, and girded Himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded.
When He came to Simon Peter, Peter said to Him, "Lord, do You wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not know now. But after these things, you will understand." Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with Me." Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has been bathed does not need to wash more than his feet, for he is clean altogether. You are clean, but not all of you." He knew who was to betray Him. That was why He said, "Not everyone was clean."
So after He had washed their feet and taken His garments and sat down again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me the Master and the Lord, and it is good that you say this, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have done this to show you the way to do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak of you all. I know whom I have chosen. The Scripture must be fulfilled. He that eats bread with Me has lifted up his heel against Me. Already now I tell you of this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am He. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives anyone whom I shall send receives Me, and whoever receives Me receives him who sent Me."
When Jesus had said these things, His spirit was in turmoil. He bore witness and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray Me." The disciples looked at one another dumbfounded about whom He spoke. One of His disciples, whom Jesus loved, was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Simon Peter said to Him, "Ask who it is of whom He is speaking." The disciple who was reclining on Jesus' chest said to Him, "Lord, who is it?"
Jesus then answered, "It is the one to whom I shall give the piece of bread after I have dipped it." He dipped the piece of bread He had in His hand and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After the piece of bread had been dipped, Satan entered into that one. Jesus said to him, "What you are doing, do quickly."
No one at the table knew what the purpose was of what Jesus had said to him. Because Judas kept the money bag, some thought Jesus had told him to buy what was needed for the feast, or to give something to the poor. When that man had received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in Him God is glorified. If God is glorified in Him, God will glorify Him in Himself, and at once He will glorify Him."
Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek Me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. For this I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but afterwards you will follow me." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Do I put my trust? Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God. For you are the God of my salvation.
Who is greater, he that sits at the table or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at the table? But I am among you as a servant. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is the Passion reading we just heard read, part one, the Lord's Supper, dear friends in Christ. You have the wonderful privilege this very night to know God perfectly. That's right. You heard me correctly. You will leave this place knowing God not slightly, not a little bit, not mostly, not even considerably, but you will know God perfectly. Hear these words of Martin Luther. "The creed properly follows, which sets forth all that we must expect and receive from God. In short, it teaches us to know Him perfectly." To know God perfectly is to know Jesus, God in the flesh. And to know Jesus is to know Him not only as Savior and Lord, not only as true God and true man, but as a servant, as one who has come to serve you. Luther says we know God perfectly when we know what we must expect and receive from Him. And tonight we learn to expect and receive from God the service of Christ. And not just any kind of service, mind you, but the service of our salvation. Jesus is God for you, as He serves you by giving His body into death and sheds His blood upon the cross. And He gives that same body, that same blood to you to eat and to drink in the Lord's Supper. As Jesus Himself tells us, "I am among you as a servant." He comes to serve us. We sinners who delight, who excel at serving ourselves. "My time is at hand," Jesus says. The time of service has come. the time for him to render the greatest service of all. But the time of his service is also the time of man's wickedness, a time for the schemes of self-serving men. Look what happens. The bigwig religious establishment types and their hired guns, the know-it-all consultants, and all of their lockstep followers gather in secret meetings, plotting in the high priest's palace. They are jealous of Jesus. They're threatened by him. And so not from the Romans, not from the Greeks, not from any barbarian band, but from the church, from God's own people, and those appointed to lead them, come plots of betrayal and murder. For they seek to serve themselves. They care little for truth or error. They care little for the salvation of the people. What they care about is their own reputation, their own power. You see, there are people like, well, you and me. Now, we may not plot to take another person's life, but we will plot to take their reputation. We will seek to humble them and exalt ourselves. You see, when it comes down to it, we will serve ourselves, even if we must destroy someone else first. The time of man's wickedness has come. Look what happens. Satan is working overtime, lurking about, seeking a soul to steal. And he finds one, not in Georgia, not in the brothels, not in the bad part of town, not even amongst the atheists, but in the church, in the office of the holy ministry. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, one of the 12. He went his way to the chief priests and captains and spoke together with them how he might betray Jesus to them. Whatever his motivations might have been, and people have speculated on that ever since he betrayed Jesus, political or religious, we do know that Judas intended to get rich from his act of betrayal. What will you give me to betray him to you? You see, he's serving himself, his own ideals, his own opinions, but most of all, his own pocketbook. He is fundamentally driven by greed. And what won't man do? What won't you do in service of greed, in service of yourself? Now, we may not hand over a friend for blood money, but we will do whatever we can to enrich our own checking account, whether it is moral or not, and no matter who we ruin on the way. We will always find a way to serve old number one, just as Judas did. But the funny thing is, you never truly serve yourself, no matter how hard you try. In serving his own ends, Judas was actually serving another, Satan himself. The time of man's wickedness has come. Look what happens. Trouble, conflict, discord, contention, fighting. Where? Amongst the rabble-rousers in the taverns? Amongst the bullies at school? No! In the church. In the office of the holy ministry. There was also a strife among them as to which of them should be accounted the greatest. The apostles clench their fists, raise their voices, spit invectives, push, shove, threaten one another with bodily harm, litigation, and excommunication as they verbally brawl about who is the greatest among them. How appalling. What an embarrassment. The people of God, those who call themselves Christians, fighting over their positions, fighting to serve themselves, fighting to satiate their own pride. This is no conflict over doctrine, over the truth of God's word. That is something worth fighting over. This is a contest of stubbornness, a war fought over pride, a competition to see who has the biggest ego, the one who serves himself the most. What does Jesus do with this rotten mess? What does he do in the midst of all these deadbeat losers and criminals? The chief priests and scribes, Judas and the 12, you and me. Look what happens. The most unexpected event in the history of the world. The time of man's wickedness has surely come. But that very hour is also the hour of Christ's service. Look what happens. Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. What does Jesus do with this rotten mess? He loves us. He loves us to the end. He loves us by serving us. You learn to know God perfectly as Jesus serves sinners. Sinners like you. He humbles himself, making himself lower than the lowest servant, lower than the lowest slave. He washes their feet. I am among you as a servant, he says. For he came not to be served, but to serve. Now Peter objects. He will not let the Lord become a servant. But Jesus, he'll have none of that. The only way to have Jesus is as a servant. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. He serves. We are served. There is no other way. Jesus comes in no other way than as a servant. Only as Jesus serves us do we know God perfectly. In washing the disciples' feet, Jesus teaches Peter, the other apostles, and you what to expect and receive from God. Love, mercy, forgiveness, salvation. And having loved them by washing their feet, he now loves them all the way to the bitter end. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but afterwards you will follow me. He is going where they cannot follow him now, into death, that final enemy of man, the price of your selfishness, the price of your sin. He goes where you cannot now go, for he goes in your place. He goes bearing your sin, your selfishness, your pride. He goes as your substitute. He goes as your servant. He goes as God for you, winning salvation by giving up His own life into death in your place, paying the price that your sin required with His very own blood. He goes where you cannot now go, with the promise that you will afterwards follow Him into the grave. But because He has already walked the road of the cross, through humiliation and death, through the victory of the empty tomb, that journey has been forever changed for you. You will follow Him through death to life everlasting. You will live as He lives, never to die again. Christ has served you unto death so that He could give you life. To know God perfectly is to know what to receive and expect from Him. To know that in Christ's death and resurrection, your salvation is won. And that in this place, His salvation is given to you. At this altar, Christ takes off His outer garments and goes to work once again for you as your servant. He comes among you once again as one who serves. "Take, eat, this is my body," He says. "Drink of it, all of you, this is my blood," He says. He gives Himself to you fully and completely, perfectly, holding nothing back, coming as your servant. You sit at the table and He serves you. He loves you. He loves you to the very end. And He will continue to pour out that love upon you. That is what you are to receive and expect from Him all your life. What He says, He gives. What He gives, He says. Forgiveness, life, salvation. He loves you to the end. Good Friday, the Lord's Supper, all for you. There. Here, you know God perfectly. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the Magnificat, page 229, page 229. "Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
the name of our servant, Savior, and Lord, Jesus Christ. At this time, we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. It's a pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. At this time also, we worship God with our gifts and our offerings. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that God's good news of service in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always.
Earlier this evening,
many of us were fed in our bodies as the school and preschool teachers, parents, grandparents, and all the associated people took care of our fellowship meal. We've been fed now by God's Word, knowing Him perfectly, forgiveness, life, and salvation. And now, several of our preschoolers and grade schoolers are here to share some songs that we've been working on, and I think we're going to do four songs tonight. All right? Four songs. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. How about
Thank you. do one more. You can help save the second time.
Father in heaven, God the Son, Redeemer of the world, God the Holy Spirit, be gracious to us. Be gracious to us from all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter,
help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord,
to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons, especially Susan, Celeste, and Brian, and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts. To give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
We pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Graciously spare us those punishments which we by our sins have deserved, and grant us always to know you perfectly and serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. We continue now with our closing hymn, 878, Abide With Me.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Just a couple of quick announcements. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes from this last Sunday, they're on the back shelf there. Also, last week we ran out of our Lenten devotional books. We got plenty of them made up for tonight. I have a purple cover on and an extra opportunity to walk with Christ on the road through the Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. I want to thank everybody for preparing and serving the meal tonight. If you didn't notice when you came in, there's a display. Our school and preschool benefit auction is coming up. Save the date, Friday, March 11. Does that sound right? Friday, March 11. And more details about that in the news and notes as well. Lifelight Bible study tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We continue our look at the book of Job. The book of Job. Right now, after church, we have a new study during Lent. We're studying the penitential Psalms. That'll be in the fellowship hall, choir upstairs. Pastor, anything else? Vicar? Oh, yes. Well, okay, Mrs. Bach. I might want to share it, but she definitely wants to share it.
I would like to thank the preschoolers. They washed over 300 potatoes. They dried them and they wrapped them. And
they washed them very, very well.
Oh, yes, they washed them very well.
Very well.
And Pastor's granddaughter, Rose, is an expert
Expert potato washer?
No. Rolling the foil.
Rolling them in foil.
All right. All right. Well, thanks to the preschoolers for their potato washing and rolling skills. And I hope Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa can put those skills to use at home sometime in the near future, too. A practical skill that they've learned in preschool. All right. Have a great day and week and Lenten journey in the perfect knowledge of Christ.